Okay, the suit of Ahasuerush at the beginning of Parak Aleph served two purposes. One was to assert himself as Melech. And therefore, the problem was, as the Malm explains, that the Malchus, the Kvod Malchus of Ahasuerush came from the fact that he was a husband of Vashti. In other words, Vashti had was a royal person. She was royal from her lineage, as we learned last time, from Belshazzar. She was the daughter of Belshazzar. She was an Einikel or Or Einikel. It's Machlokes Rishonim of Nebuchadnezzar. Whatever it was, his whole Kayach came via of Vashti. And therefore, this was something that he was a little bit fed up with this. He wanted to have his own covenant, his own honor, right? His own identity. And therefore, he creates the Suda for 180 days. The 180-day Suda is for the nobleman and so on. And number two, he creates another 7-day Suda for the people of Shushan. Because this way, the people of Shushan get to know him. Everybody, no matter who you are, as we'll see in the Psukim, no matter who you are, this was ultimately the purpose of the Suda. That's one shot, and that really fits in the covenant and the honor that's afforded him, fits into the Psukim. The other shot in the Suda was
government at its best, 180-day Suda.
What's that?
Government at its best.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Now, the second purpose of the Suda is a Medrash Rabbah. And I'm going to read you the Lashon Medrash Rabbah inside. Amar Haman l'Achashverosh. Haman, who was already on the scene, says to Achashverosh, Elikehem shel elu sainei zima. Their God hates znus, hates princes. Hem ad lahem zainos. Make for them zainos, for asa lahem mishteh. The gazar aleim sheyavoyu kulam v'yoychlu v'yishtu v'yasu kirtzaynam. Make that there's a party, there's a feast, and then make that they should come. They're going to eat, they're going to drink, and do v'yasu kirtzaynam. Kivin shara Mordechai kach. Once Mordechai saw this, amad v'hikras aleim. He went ahead and he was machriz on them. V'amar lahem lo yiselchu lechol besudasai shalach hashverosh. You don't want to go and eat in the suda of Achashverosh. Shalei hizmin eschem, he only invited you, ki im lilmayt aleichem kategoria. In other words, Mordechai understood that even if the party has a kasher certification, even if the food is be'etzem kasher, but the maisa, the kashrus of a suda, the kashrus of a suda is much greater than just the food itself. It's rather, if it's tugapas, if it's proper for people to go. So Mordechai read through this problem very clearly, and he said, you don't belong here. You don't belong by the Suda, because the whole purpose is Haman is doing it to trip you up. They did not listen to Mordechai. And they all went to the Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash says 18,500 people attended this Mishteh. They became shikr. And it was a bad thing. Miyad amad Satan v'hilshon aleihem. So immediately Satan got up in Shamayim and said, look at Klal Yisrael. And in fact, the Gemara continues, as we'll see in a moment. Let's just see the Pesukim inside. We saw the first Pasuk last time, and this Pasuk talks about this Suda. In this time, when the King Hashverosh sat on his throne, in the third year of his malchus, asa mishteh l'chol sarav v'avadav. He made a mishteh for all of his officers and servants, chel paras u'madai, the army of paras u'madai, hapartabim, the nobles, v'sari ha-medinais, and the officers l'fonav, being that were there, that were present in front of him. Bar oisei, when he displayed, as oisei k'vei malchusai, the glorious types of items of his kingdom, as yikar and the splendor, Tiferes, also the glory, Kivay Malchusai, Yamim Rabim, many days, Shmainim Umasyayim. So that's 180 days. That was the Suda. Vimlois HaYamim Ha'ela, and when those days came to an end, the 180 days, which is basically almost a half a year, Asa, it's a Hebrew year, it's more than a half a year. In a secular year, it's less than a half a year. Asa HaMelech L'chol Ha'am HaNimsa B'Shushan HaBira, the king made for all the people present in Shushan HaBira, L'Migodov Ad Katon. Mishnah Shivas Yomim, a Mishnah of 7 days, Bachatzar Ginas Pisan HaMelech, in the courtyard of the garden of the palace of the king. And the Pesukim then go explain all the fancy parts.
So the last 7 days?
So in Shushan, they're coming because everybody's invited, the Gansa Oilov. No. This was a political move, as is well known, if you're lower on the totem pole and the king gives you a certain kavod, right? So that was a political move on the part of Ahasuerus, and that political move was that people would say, "Wow, you know, ich bin a garnished, right? What do I do for a living? I have a low level job that's not so high, that's not so chashav, and the king invited me, so everybody felt good about themselves. I like this king, right? All it takes a little sheichad, so to speak, right? It's a little bribe." To a certain extent, not literally a bribe, but figuratively a bribe. Everybody's happy. Oh, you know, long live the king. He now is able to pull himself out of this matzav of relying on Vashti, which is his ultimate goal, and therefore he's now able to assert himself as being more chashav. Now this, as we know, as the parak is going to continue, which we're probably not going to get to till next time or time after that, but that this is setting the stage, Rav Shalom is setting the stage for Vashti to come on the scene. And when we learn later, and we're going to repeat this later in detail, but when Vashti refuses to come, so we always say the Pasha Pshat is that, okay, you know, it's a chutzpah, and what do we do with her? But it's much more than that. It's much deeply rooted, Reb Revda explains, and that is that the whole tachlis of this Suda is to assert himself. It's like he spent 180 days, which was a one Suda, and everybody's, you know, long live the king. All his noblemen are happy. Now you got the city of Shushan. And that was, again, as we said, one more Haisafa on the political ploy, is that you always want the locals to be on your side, because rebellions, you know, the most dangerous rebellions are when they're in the old city of the king. And therefore, we've got to make sure that the locals are happy, from the lowest to the highest. And therefore, he sets the Suda, and here he's asserting himself. And on the seventh day, which is the end of the Suda, where he's reached his pinnacle of everybody's so happy and excited with him, Vashti is now going to come and destroy everything he's worked for. Because there he's trying to be Mr. Chashev, Mr. Independent, and along comes Vashti and is going to trip all that up by saying, "I'm sorry, I'm not coming." Not, "I'm sorry, tough luck," right? "I'm not coming," and that's it. So it really, this Suda creates this scenario that we're going to run into.
These 18,500 came from 127 medinos.
Pasha said the people of Shushan, right? There was a Shushan residence included. It was a big city, included Yidden, and therefore the Medr says it was them. Perhaps this Suda was open to more people. It's not clear from the Medr exactly if it included the people from far away or not. It would seem to be it was the residents of Shushan, but maybe they were invited special. It's not clear.
This famous part of the story where there's a throne involved over here, which he shows his goddess with the throne, and he repeats the throne of Dov HaMelech. So that wasn't, that's a part of this chelik of this whole showing
the the Mefarshim speak about this throne and his godless and his glory and why was it in Shushan. You know, he built this whole thing and all the covenant for him. The allusions go back to, to Malchus. In fact, there is a Medrash that speaks about, even a Gemara, I believe, that speaks about how can you call Malchus on a king such as Ahasuerus. Well, we'll see that. In fact, we'll see that in a Medrash. The Medrash is troubled by the Lashon of Al Kisei Malchusai. Right? What about Kisei Malchusai? There's only one Kisei Malchusai. That's the Eibishter. Right. So Ahasuerus is trying to take this quantum leap to be, you know, Joe Chashev, and yet the Medrash has trouble with that because he's asserting himself almost in a godly manner, and therefore we'll see what the Medrash says on that.
On the throne, the Medrash will.
Correct. We'll talk about the throne vis-a-vis the throne of Eibishter.
Shushan is present day.
Present day in Iran. There's different explanations of where it is. There's a city. Remember when I was a kid, my father Shalom told me that some people say it's the city of Susa, which has the same name, a similar name. There was a Yid in St. Louis who did a lot of research on the Persian Jewry. His name was Dr. Paris. And he actually had a whole write-up on he went to Iran, I think, in the 50s, and did a research. It's actually written up in a book that was published by the Vadir in St. Louis in 1955. Which is a long time ago, but it was not so posh at Susa. A lot of the
they go to the
Kfarim of Esther are not in the city of Susa. There's nothing really Yiddishkeit. There's not much Yiddishkeit there, if any. But the Kever.
They go to the Kfarim.
I think it's a city. I've asked Iranians. They say there's another city called Amadan, I think, And that is a city which a lot of people say was the Shushan that was in the past. Anyway, so the Gemara now, let's go to a Gemara that's not going to touch on this Suda and the tragedy of the Suda. Shalu Tamidav Esrim Shimba Yochai. Why is it that the enemies of Klal Yisrael, which is a Lashon Saki Nahar, and really is referring to Klal Yisrael, why is Klal Yisrael, again, the Gemara uses Lashon, the enemies of Klal Yisrael, why are they chai of destruction? Amar Le, Amruli, you tell me, Amar Le, Bibnei Shenenu, Bisutasi, Shaloisa, Russia. The reason why is because they were nenda from the Suda of this Russia, of Ahasuerus. Amar Lahem. So he said to them, in Cain, Shal Shushan Yahargu. Right? Shal Kala Ilam Kula Ila Yahargu. So this medrash would seem to be answering your question that the 18,000 taka came from Shushan, because the Gemara seems to be asking this. So Lamai said, this really answers in a roundabout way your question, and that it was 18,000 people from Shushan. So I understand, what about the rest of Klal Yisrael? I understand Shushan. But why should the rest of Klal Yisrael suffer? Amar Lei, Amar Lanu Ata, you tell us, Amar Lohem, because they bowed to the Tzelem of Ruchanetzer. That's what we spoke about last time. That was the other chait of Klal Yisrael. We had a machalik to be showing them whether it was really a Tzelem or it was Avodah Zarah or not. But either way, it was a terrible Avla. And then the Gemara continues, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't punish them. And the Gemara continues. But the question is, what is so bad about the Suda? Lemaisa, it's fine. So the second shot...
Well, you just said they have to do Zara to get in, I guess.
No, so the second shot is they bow to Talmud. So according to that, it was Avodah Zarah. But according to the first shot, it was a prosta thing. There was nus going on. But why is it... Why the Chai of Destruction, Gantz Klal Yisrael? Because they went. So the people that were Mizana, so okay. But why is Gantz Klal Yisrael? Because they entered the Suda. Since when is Klal Yisrael Chayiv Kloya, destruction, Le'olenu, for such a thing? So the Rif in Ein Yaakov, not the Rif the Rishon, there's a Rif who's appears on Ein Yaakov, who explains, Kol Mishen Nena Me'oises Suda, Hu Yoreshu Sameach HaChurban HaMikdash. He explains that the Pshat is that it's a simen that they were happy of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Because remember, the purpose of the Suda was to display the items of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kalim of Beis HaMikdash. So this is again, they were celebrating, as we explained last time, that they thought the 70 years were up, right? It was after the Churban. They thought 70 years were up, and now let's use these Kalim. So Klal Yisrael could go. This was a party of, this was not some a party of you know, festivities. This was a party celebrating the 70 years are done. And the party's being Sameach on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. How could a Yid set foot in such a makom, such a place? And that was the time when Mordechai said, this suit is not kosher. It means the Hashkafa Shabbai, right? The Yerdeya Shabbai was, you know, Mahajim and Mahajim, right? It would have the best Hachsherim. But the Hashkafa Shabbai was a terrible, terrible thing. And therefore, this was the time of that Mordechai was saying. And this was why they deserved to be punished. Now, the Pachad Yitzchak. What's that?
Why is it a chiv misa?
Because it's to be sameach in the churban is such a tremendous avla. But you hear this Pachad Yitzchak, though, you'll appreciate it even more. Rav Huttner, there's a beautiful pshat in the Rambam. There's such a beautiful pshat. This will enhance your Purim. This Pachad Yitzchak, it'll give a totally new meaning to your Purim. The Rambam says in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes Zayin, famous halacha, Mutav la adam la harbais b'matanis lav yayinim. A person should be marba in matanas of yainim than being marba in the suda shlachmanas, which is why they have beautiful, obviously, straw cards and other organizations. The idea of that is to be kindness. The very Rambam, it's called matanas of yainim than to be marba in enhancing the suda or shlachmanas. Obviously, we're mechuyev in those mitzvahs, but if you're investing money, invest it in matanas of yainim more so than the suda shlachmanas. L'reya, why? Why is it taka better? Shein simcha gedoyla umafayara ela lismayach lev aniyim v'yisayimim v'almanus v'geirim. Because there's no greater simcha, a glorious simcha, than to be misameach the hearts of poor people, aniyim, v'yisayimim, and orphans, v'almanais, and people who have no husbands. they're almanas, they're widows, v'gerim, and people who are converts. Shamisameach lev ha'umlolim, because someone who's misameach the heart of those individuals who are in a woeful state, people who are down and out on their luck, doime l'shchina, zakh the Rambam. The Rambam says they are like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doime, they are similar l'shchina, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Eivishter. Shanamar, as the Pasuk says, l'hachyeis ruach shvalim, l'hachyeis lev nidkon. That's the tachas, to be mechaya, to give life to the spirits of shvalim, those who are low, shav shvalim, to low down, people who are getting down and out is a slang term for people who have hard times, but it means they're down, right? It means their moods are down, they're upset, they're depressed, because they live in a difficult situation. And the same idea. So that's the lesson of the Rambam. So the first half of the Rambam, everybody knows. Everybody knows the first half, Tosaf of Yoyin, involved in the thing, more important than Shlachmanis. But what does the second half of the Rambam, that's what's bothering him, Huttner. What does it mean, Daim al-Shechina? And it's also a very rare lesson. It's a rare terminology for the Rambam to go off on a tangent and say, you know, you want to tell me the halacha, that's the Rambam. Better give my Tosaf Yoyin. But all of a sudden, now the Rambam is telling me, and you know what, you're Daim al-Shechina. This is Yad HaChazak, this is halacha sefer. Right? That belongs in the Hashkafet Svarim, you know, the Kaddish of a Mitzvah, and you like the Shechina. What's he doing here? You are like the Shechina. You're like the giver. The giver, the Naisein, is like the Ribbono Shel Olam. So number one, why is Rambam telling me that? And number two is, why over here, first of all, it's a rare terminology in the Yad HaChazaka for Rambam to use. That's number one. And number two is, What about Stokka? I mean, why over here? There's other places the Rambam talks about Stokka. Why Davka by Matas of Yoinim, you're Daimel Shechina? What's the Rambam coming to tell me with that?
Also, he's equating Yisayim to, isn't Matas of Yoinim Kesef?
Yes.
So
why Yisayim? It means
Shiver Leib, more of that.
Correct, but it means it's saying, I mean, what, even Gerim, there's wealthy Gerim that are there, right? They're wealthy. It means, you know, Rambam is giving the classic examples of people who have parnasa issues. Because, in other words, all these people are the geirim, you know, if he's working within the society, people don't know him, he's late on the scene, right? He doesn't have, he's not part of the in crowd, he doesn't have connections, right? Oh, job, yeah, you know, I'll get you a job with connections. But Nebuch, he has no connections. So the odds of him are being out. You saw him on right? Again, by law of averages, those are people who are going to struggle because there's no one to come to bat for them versus the regular situation. Of course, there's exceptions. There's people, you don't have to fit into this category. A person doesn't have to be one of these to be in the parish of Tosaf Yoyinim, and you can have an Amana who's a multimillionaire. But the Rambam is just giving the norm. These are the normal cases. So Pakistan says beautiful. He explains like this. He says that Klal Yisrael, at this period of time, by the story of Purim, when they went to this Suda, they were Miyayish. Everybody knows Yish, right? Yish is the worst, you know, word, is the worst word when a person is Miyayish. Miyayish means to give up hope. Klal Yisrael, when they went to that Suda, they showed that they were Miyayish on the Beis HaMikdash. Because Achashverosh internally had cheshbon, had calculated that the 70 years were up. The purpose of the Suda was really, aha, you see, 70 years are done, there is no more Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael, you're finished, you know, you're Navi, the word you're Naviim, you're all, you know, you're not deserving of it, and that's it, you're done. The Jewish people are done, you're still around, but now you're going to, you know, assimilate, because there's going to be no more Beis HaMikdash, Golos is forever, and that's it. Anybody that went to the Suda bought into this, and were Miyayish, gave up on. So it's a little different than the Rif. The Rif is saying there was some Meyach, but that means there was a joy. They were part of the excitement of it. The Pachnitzach is learning not like that. He's learning, sometimes they were Misameyach. They were Miyayish. They gave up. They gave up hope. Came the Ribbono Shel Olam. So now you have this group of people. You have, right? 18,000 people. You have a whole city of Shushan. They're in Golos that they're in. Right, between the first and second Beis HaMikdash, and they're Miyayish, they give up. So you have this huge group of people, comes to Ribbono Shel Olam, and he brings an Esther, and he brings a Mordechai, and he brings a Haman with his decree, and he brings a Nes Chanukah, and he pulls them out of Yish. He pulls them out of this level of depression. Through Mordechai and Esther, Lechu Knois Kol Yehudim, Esther says, Lechu Knois Kol Yehudim, gather together, V'tzumalai, and let's fast, and we're going to come together, Ba'achtus, we're going to come together, we're going to fast, because we believe in Ribbono Shel Olam, we are not in a hopeless situation. The Ribbono Shel Olam crafts, of course, Mordechai and Esther were the vehicles to get this message across, but the message of the Ribbono Shel Olam is, don't give up. Don't give up. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the story of Purim, pulled Klal Yisrael out of Yish. Zok the Rambam, Zok the Pachad Yitzchak explained the Rambam, when you give tzedakah on Purim, when you give Matas Lav Yainim, you are emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're emulating what the Ribbono Shel Olam did for Klal Yisrael on Purim, by the story of Purim. He pulled them out of Yish. So when you go to a Yosem or a Amon or a Ger, whoever it might be, someone is Nebuch down and out, right? Someone is Miayish. They're in a state of Yish. And you go ahead and you tell them, you give them something, and now they feel good. Because now they have something, they could do something with it. It's Matalas Lav Yainim. You have pulled a Yid out of the state of Yish. You're Daimel L'Shechina. So that is beautiful. The Ram is beautiful. He's not just telling me, Ashkava, oh, you know, you're Daimel L'Shechina. That's the Avaidus Hayayim, right? The Avaidus Hayayim of Purim is to pull out somebody from Yish, because then you're Daimel L'Shechina. I once had a Maisa, somebody, an older single girl called me up. She had dated in a number of years. And, you know, she called me up. She says, Purim is very difficult for me. She had already moved away from Baltimore. She lives in another community. And she called me up. She says, it's so hard. Because everybody's, it's family-oriented, and it's this. And yeah, she does her, you know, deliveries for the local, whatever, whoever delivers Lachman is. She feels a little bit, but it's very, very depressing. So I told her, she's married today. This goes back a few years. So I said to her, I said, it can't be that there's a mitzvah in the Torah, or a mitzvah in the Torah, in Rabbanim, in Araisa, that if women are mechuyavin, if you're mechuyavin in the mitzvah, then you have to have a chelek like everybody else. In other words, Purim, no such thing as Purim is yanta for kids, or Purim is yanta for families. There's no chilek, right? If you're mechuyav, right? Right? If a woman's potter from a mitzvah, then okay, then obviously in the performance of a mitzvah can be different. But you're mechuyav in the same mitzvahs that men are. You're mechuyav in Kriyat Shema Megillah, you're mechuyav in Matan Tzaviyah, you're mechuyav in Sudah, you're mechuyav in everything. It can't be. I said, Elamai, what's the problem? The problem is that Purim somewhat has become commercialized, right? In other words, the way Purim is celebrated has swung into an eifin that is commercialized. It's commercialized in a way. It's steered in a way that it doesn't favor the situation you're in. I said, but the true Purim, the way Purim is meant to be celebrated with a farshtay, with an understanding of the mitzvahs, I said, that's equal to you and everybody else. I said, so here's what you should do. So first I told her over this Rambam, I told her over the Pachad Yitzchak, told her over the whole thing. I said, I want you to go to a Rav in the community you live. I want you to hear a story about someone who is, you know, a needy person. I want you to write a nice check, a fee, whatever you're, you know, wherever you're holding, much, much more than you would stam right out. I want you to be margish that you are pulling these people out of, right? Your check is going to, it's not going to pull them out of total, put them back on their feet. But at least you'll feel like you help somebody. They felt good. That's the Avodas Hayom of Purim. That Matanas Lav Yainim. You celebrate, you'll feel much better about yourself in that life, because that's really what Purim's all about. It's not about, you know, the theme of the Shachmanis, and it's about this, about that. It's about doing the mitzvahs ketikunim. So also, I think I told her, be mechin, learn halachas of Purim, right? Appreciate the story of Megillah. Don't just the storyline, but understand it. So I think I asked her afterwards, do it helped. Made a difference. I don't know if it was perfect, but Lamaitza, that's really what Purim is all about. This Pachad Yitzchak is Purim. If we could add, the Jewish history has seen this issue of Yish come and go, unfortunately. But when I say the Harambam, movements in the Jewish religion have been based on Yish, right? In Germany, in the early 19th century, the houses of worship were called temples. Why? Because there's no more Beis HaMikdash. We have the temple in Berlin, right? That's the temple. Because we gave up. In other words, karbanos were removed from the davening. Because what karbanos? That's they claimed it's archaic thing from the past. We're not going to be karbanos anymore. The temple's right here in Berlin, and therefore that was a terrible, tragic state. There was a chelik of Klal Yisrael, which came to the shores of America as well. A tremendous chelik that was miyayish on Torah Judaism. You know, loyal Eino, Rahman al-Islam. You know, which unfortunately, Adayim Azeh, there's that yish. It's our job to unmiyayish them by not giving them, financial support, but rather spiritual support. That no, there will be Beis HaMikdash one day. We wait for Mashiach. Every day we doubt Mashiach should come, and yish is the worst thing because once you're miyayish, that answers. Why you could take a religion and change it and modify it and so on, because I'm giving up on the standard system and now let's create a new system which should work. But of course as we know it did work. Now Agav, I want to mention that there are numerous allusions to the Megillah itself alludes to certain things. The most famous is that every time it says HaMelech, it's a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? It's Yodua that the name of Hashem doesn't appear anywhere in the Megillah, except where it says HaMelech, you could always uptight it. You can explain it to mean the Ribbono Shel Olam. Some of the most famous ones are Balayla Hu Nada Nashnas HaMelech, right? On that night, the king couldn't sleep because the Emesha couldn't sleep because Haman was ready to come in to kill Mordechai. How could Kav Yochel sleep after Haman is killed? Hamas Hamelech Shachacha. Right when Haman was killed, also the anger of the king, the Baruch Shalom, subsided because Baruch Hashem, right, the danger was over. The other illusion, which actually Chaim Bremer's uncle wrote a sefer on, or grandfather wrote a sefer on every Hamelech, how it alludes to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The other thing is the Rama wrote a sefer called Mechir Yayin, and the Mechir Yayin talks about the Megillas Esther refers to a person, right? It refers to a person, the life of a person. So Vayhi, right? Vayhi b'me'ach Hashverosh. Vayhi, as we know, is an Esara. We'll have to talk about that as well. And Vayhi Noyach Leila Adam Shalay Nivra Mishanivra. Right? This person's born. It's already Vayhi. Woe is the fact that he was born. Vayhi b'me'ach is. Is a tzara. The eighth tzara was born. Bishnas Shalosh Lamolchai. In the third year of his malchus. Zakhtar Mechir Yayin. At age 3 is when a person goes after Taivas Halev. He begins his battles with the eighth Sahara. He already deals with, you know, life issues. Makatina Terrible 2 is also, they're running around. But that's more of, they're just, I think, aimlessly running around a little bit. Once they're 3, they're shining already a balabas. You know, dealing with tzrachim, so that with their needs, their personal needs and challenges, and so on and so forth. Now, we're going to end with the story from Reb Schwab. Reb Schwab, the Medrash says that al kisei malchusai, it's ksiv ki l'Hashem hamelucha, va'ata oimer al kisei malchusai. The pasuk says, "Ki l'Hashem amlucha." This is a question we spoke about before. Malchusai. It says, "Ki l'Hashem amlucha." Va'ato oimer al kisei malchusai. And you, how can the Megillah call any kisei malchus on someone else other than Ribbono Shel Olam? Elo l'sha'avar ha'isa malchus b'Yisrael, u'mishachatu nitla mehem v'nitna l'umas ha'olam. So, the Medrash originally the malchus was b'Yisrael, but when they sinned, the malchus was taken from them and given to the Umas HaOlam. That's the Lashon of Medrash. So Reb Schwab explains, what does that mean? Reb Schwab explains as follows, that Pirish, Shenitin l'Umas HaOlam kayach shal malchus al Yisrael, v'akadosh baruch hu mishtamesh b'melech b'Umas HaOlam lahanig es inyonei am Yisrael. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Umas HaOlam the kayach of malchus of Yisrael. And that's the Lashon of HaMelech. In other words, When things are good, when there's Gilui Shechina, when the Ribbono Shel Olam reveals himself to us, then it's direct. It comes direct from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when there's Astaras Panim, when we're not deserving of the direct Yad Hashem, everything comes indirect. The Ribbono Shel Olam works the world through the Malachim on this world. And therefore, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do, Lei Melech B'Yad Hashem, right? The Lei Melech, but everything is channeled rather than being direct. And that's shot in the Pasuk. Vishnas, the Pasuk says, Al Kisei Malchusai, it means HaShveirosh is the representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Rabbim represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will and wants are being channeled through Olam Hazeh, through the Malachim, through the King. And therefore, they're really pawns, B'yad Hashem, Lei Melech B'yad Hashem. Ultimately, they're pawns of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's the chait. So, Mr. Shem, next time we'll elaborate on this, the kuda of things that get channeled through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll also, Mr. Shem, talk about the Pasuk Vayihi. Vayihi B'mei, Zayi Sarah, will understand the exact lush and why that's so. It's a, it's